The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello there. This is Fred Brack reading for the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Our State magazine. Today's reading of Our State is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974, and underwriting our podcast for over 15 years. They can be reached at 919-781-1973 for all your insurance needs. And now we're going to break the cover on a brand new issue of Our State magazine celebrating North Carolina. This one, of course, for December 2022. Now think really hard. What do you suppose the theme would be this month? You know, they always have a theme. Give me a moment here. Have yourself a Merry Little Christmas is the theme, holidays past and present. And we'll see how much of that we can get into. But first, we're going to start, as we always do, with the From Elizabeth column by Elizabeth Hudson, editor-in-chief. And she entitled this month's column, Gift Boxes. The boxes hadn't been opened in more than 40 years. Flaps barely held together with duct tape. Gone brittle at the edges. They'd been stored in the attic of our Ashboro home, then carted to the townhouse where my mom lives now, relegated to a high shelf in the garage, their contents mostly forgotten. A few nights ago, when I was at my mom's for supper, I thought I might like to see what was in those boxes. We pulled out the stepladder, and I climbed up, gingerly handling down each dusty box, seeing for the first time the word books printed with a black marker in my dad's precise handwriting. We brought the boxes, seven of them, into the house, and I peeled the tape off the first one. Inside, preserved in place for decades, 24 hardcovers pressed against the walls of the box. Titles came rushing back to me. Prayers and Graces for a Small Child, The Bumper Book, Raggedy Ann and the Daffy Taffy Pull. These weren't just books, they were my books, the ones I'd hugged close and toted all over the house, the ones I'd held on to at bedtime, lingering over every illustrated page until my eyes fluttered shut. I opened the cover of the New Golden Dictionary, a book that had been my favorite for its sheer abundance of words and pictures. Quote, over 2,000 pictures in full color, it said right on the front. 1,712 words. And saw the inscription. Merry Christmas, Elizabeth Ann, with love from Grandma Norva and Grandpa Harris, December 25th, 1974. My grandmother's handwriting, sheltered from light and touch in this box for decades, was still vivid on the page. I could envision her hand, ringed with her gold charm bracelet, her slender fingers still agile and arthritis-free, holding the Blue Cross Blue Shield ballpoint pen that had been a gift to my grandfather when he retired from selling insurance. I could imagine her writing my name, carefully looping the letters in the Palmer-style cursive she'd learned as a young girl. Nearly every book in the boxes had been a gift from someone in my family, grandparents, aunts, uncles, my mom and dad, each one thoughtfully inscribed with the giver and the date. Christmases and birthdays and Easters and Valentine's Days. As the years passed, the books held more words and fewer pictures. I rediscovered my entire weekly reader book club collection and a series of Agatha Christie pocket paperbacks that I spent a whole winter reading during the hour-long bus ride to school. For the next several hours, my mom and I pored over these books, reading aloud to each other from Scuffy the Tugboat, from Where the Wild Things Are, reliving these fanciful, joyful stories that once filled our house and reacquainted ourselves with the characters. Here again are Max and Charlotte and Alice and Pippi, who shaped my childhood and filled my heart. How happy I am to see all these names again. The storybook ones, of course, but the real ones, too. The signatures and messages from people I loved so much. A true gift, a comforting reminder that their presence has been here all along. Well, it's time for me to do the Christmas on Parade pictorial from the Our State Center of the magazine, with a little Christmas music there in the background. In small towns and big cities across the state, smiling faces line the streets and waterfronts as communities gather to celebrate the season and get a sneak peek at Santa. Written by Katie King. And here in the first picture is Mr. and Mrs. Santa Claus. They are on a sleigh, some kind of a float, if you will. Or maybe it was actually set up as a sleigh and running on wheels. I don't really know. Can't tell from the picture. Santa's waving, and so is Mrs. Santa behind him. He's dressed traditionally, I guess we would say. And the theme says, or rather the description says, in typical holiday fashion, Santa and Mrs. Claus, portrayed by Alan and Marty Durth, close out the Highlands Old Mountain Christmas Parade. Overleaf, the big day, Highlands. The energy that builds along Main Street in Highlands before the annual Old Mountain Christmas Parade reflects the excitement and anticipation that have been growing since Thanksgiving, maybe even longer. The Christmas season is finally here, and to kick it off, local civic groups, nonprofits, churches, businesses, and other organizations queue up to spread the joy to the spectators lined up along downtown sidewalks. The Mountain Garden Club dancers, who've been performing at the parade for more than 20 years, are always a big hit with their choreographed performance and matching costumes, which are all kept secret until the day of the parade. And so we have three pictures on this page, and the caption says, clockwise, resident Griffin Bell and his tractor, members of the Atlanta Classic Thunderbird Club and the Mountain Theater Company at Highlands Playhouse paraded down Main Street last year. Of course, given the timing of the magazine, these are always last year's pictures. So for the first one, we have these people, adults of various ages, parading, and they are carrying giant blocks. Remember the blocks with letters on them and colorful things on the other sides? Let's see. I see PLAYHUS, Playhouse, I guess. That must be either an abbreviation or we've got some missing letters there. And they're marching along. They have on red holiday aprons and green caps. And then we have that old Thunderbird card right there in the front. Looks like it's a black convertible. It's got white wheels, white sidewall tires, of course. And people are staring into it as it rolls by. And then the tractor is right in front. It says David Brown on the front of it. Usually they say John Deere, don't they? Well, this is a David Brown tractor. It's a lot of red on it in the area around the hubs of the hubcaps. There's no hubcaps, but the wheel hubs and the engine parts. And then it has a white top. And a man in a plaid shirt is driving it. Overleaf. Littles and llamas. In Highlands, llamas strolling down Main Street in Highlands are an unfamiliar sight for most of the spectators at the Old Mountain Christmas Parade. But a handful of kids with Big Brothers, Big Sisters of Western North Carolina, an organization that pairs mentors with children facing adversity, have encountered these furry creatures before. BBBSWNC hosts annual hikes with llamas for the kids. And several years ago, organizers decided to share that experience at the Christmas parade in Cashiers. In 2021, they added Highlands to their schedule, joining the Old Mountain Christmas Parade in the morning and the Cashiers Christmas Parade in the afternoon. Bigs, littles, and littles. Let's see. Littles, or litties, maybe it's... I can't really read it. It's Bigs, littles, and littles families, that's what it is, are encouraged to participate. And seeing the interactions among the kids and the llamas brings a smile to everyone's face. And then down below it says, little brother Hudson, 12, was among the 18 or so kids with big brothers, big sisters, who walked alongside eight llamas in the Highlands and Cashiers Christmas parades last year. And there's a real smile on his face as he holds on to a rather thick piece of rope connected up to a strap around the llama's snout to make sure you have pretty good control of him. The llama itself has long brown hair, a little scraggly at the end. It seems to get lighter as you go back further on the body. And then there's another much lighter colored one, a tan and off-white llama standing behind him. Bring on the band in Fayetteville. As E.E. Smith High School's award-winning Magnificent Marching Machine makes its way down Person and Hay Streets, the band's lively Christmas tunes and members' enthusiastic dance moves bring a contagious energy to Fayetteville's Rotary Christmas Parade Band. Or rather, Christmas Parade. Band director and E.E. Smith alum Roosevelt Pratt has led the high-stepping marching band for more than 25 years, during which time at least 25 students have gone on to lead bands as drum majors at historically black colleges and universities across the Southeast. Caption, in addition to supporting Golden Bulls athletics and playing in Fayetteville's annual Christmas parade, the Magnificent Marching Machine has competed nationally and won hundreds of trophies. There are a lot of them. They're lined up in three rows here. They're facing the crowd on one side. Excuse me, four rows. I didn't see all those sousaphones in the back row. And right in front of them are flutes and clarinets, and then in the middle are trombones, and then trumpets. And then you've got the majorettes in the front. They have capes, which read Golden Bulls on the back. The uniforms are very colorful. They're a dark navy blue, trimmed with a little bit of white on the sleeves, and then yellow on the patch where it says E.E. Smith, and yellow capes down the backs of the players and blue of the majorettes, and a white sort of a vest which says E.E. Smith on the front. Their caps are yellow and gold with golden, I guess you'd call it tassels, on the top of each one of the caps. And the street is a very nice street. It's almost like it's not really a cobblestone street. I don't know what you'd call it. It's a tiny little paver blocks. Everybody looks like they're having a great time. They have a wonderful audience there. Overleaf, giving back. Fayetteville. When the Fayetteville Rotary Club, established in 1920, realized in 1999 that the city ought to have its own Christmas parade, members joined forces with the West Fayetteville and Lafayette Rotary Clubs to make it happen. Now the parade is one of their major community service projects each year. The first event had about 50 entries, and over the next 20 years, that number grew to nearly 120 pre-pandemic, including businesses and organizations that participate in the homemade float competition, performers from local schools, and characters like the Grinch and Mrs. Santa Claus. Caption here, even the Grinch, sporting a shirt from Team Ghost Youth Basketball, or rather baseball, gets into the holiday spirit during the Fayetteville Rotary Christmas Parade. Meanwhile, Santa and Mrs. Claus wrap up the parade in style on the back of a Ford Mustang. So we've got Mr. Grinch over here. He's got green furry legs and green hands and a big green beard, and then that purple shirt. And he's waving to the crowd. And Santa and Mrs. Santa are on the back of a convertible whose license plate is Little Saint Nick. And they are waving to the crowds as they go down that same street with all those nice pavers that I talked about. Overleaf, a growing tradition in Stokesdale. Long before the sirens sound to signal the start of Stokesdale's annual Christmas parade, people flock downtown to claim their spots and jostle for the best view of the dancers, marching bands, floats, horses, and vehicles, big and small, that will soon make their way down the streets. The decades-long community tradition highlights the agricultural heritage of this Guilford County town, as well as its growing population. Over the years, the parade has seen an increase in the number of youth organizations participating. Last year's parade attracted about 3,000 spectators and 70 entries, including some fan favorites that return year after year, the Shriners, who toss out candy from their go-karts, and, of course, Santa. And the caption says, Santa Wally Plummer and his elf Sidney Simmons follow a cheerful cast of characters, including, as shown on the opposite page, Winter Bromet with snowman Olaf, a dog masquerading as a reindeer, and Stokesdale Recreation Team League cheerleaders. Here's Santa, another Santa, waving with the elf, all dressed in green, beside Santa, traditionally dressed, and in the I guess this is on a float, so it's a pseudo sleigh. The presents are in front of Santa, as are some stuffed reindeer made out of straw, I guess, that's all tied together. And on the other page, here we have a dog with antler ears strapped on its head. And we have the go-kart, and the ladies tossing candy from the go-kart. And there's a big white duck with a long nose. Mind me now, excuse me, that's not a duck. That is a snowman that kind of looks like a duck in the cart beside her. And then some very young cheerleaders down below walking down the center of the street. They've got some pom-poms raised over their head, and they look very happy. How about Gastonia? Familiar faces. Local performers, business owners, and members of organizations who parade down Main Street in Gastonia each December are the hallmark of small-town parades, and in this foothill city, the event is a tradition that goes back more than 65 years. On the first Sunday of December every year, the Gaston County JCs and Keep Gastonia Beautiful host Christmas in the City, a holiday celebration that includes a parade, marketplace, and a tree lighting ceremony. And in the caption, it says spectators see plenty of faces they recognize at the Gastonia Christmas Parade, including members of the Carolina Dancing Diamonds, the Carolina Peaks, to Piedmont Girl Scout Troop, and Bam Hunter, mascot for the Gastonia Honey Hunters baseball team. So here are the ladies, all of them smiling, of course. A couple of them are three of them are flag bearers, and the other is carrying a big candy cane, and she's the youngest, and she has an especially pleasant smile. And they are dressed in tan outfits, overlaid with a white shirt, perhaps because it was a little cool, and they have white gloves on. On the left-hand side, we have some dancers in the street. They are dressed in short black shorts and then red, blue, and gold vests, and they've got white gloves on their outstretched hands. And there's the mascot, who's wearing some kind of a shirt that says Honey Hunters on the front of it. Here's yet another Santa Claus in Gastonia. Santa Claus is coming. When the parade comes to an end, the celebration doesn't stop. It simply moves locations. In years past, spectators gathered at the Rotary Pavilion downtown to watch a holiday concert by local school and performing arts groups and eagerly await the arrival of Santa for the tree lighting ceremony. This year, to accommodate the ever-growing crowds, the parade will end at Gastonia's new baseball stadium, where the marketplace will be set up with craft and food vendors, free hot chocolate, snow globe photos, a trackless train, and juggling elves. Santa's sitting on a very big white chair, bigger than Santa, as a matter of fact. It's trimmed in gold, and Santa Rick Franklin, as he rides into town on a vintage fire truck before making his way to Gastonia's tree lighting ceremony. Let's go to the coast. Lights on the Sound, Morehead City and Beaufort. Strings of lights in red, green, and gold wrap around masts and railings. They dangle off the sides of yachts and kayaks, fishing boats and skiffs. Boaters in Santa hats wave to spectators lining the waterfront as they cruise from Morehead City toward Beaufort. The annual Crystal Coast Holiday Flotilla is a special way to see holiday lights on the waterfronts of Morehead City and Beaufort, where they reflect beautifully on the water and stand in stark contrast to the night sky. Beautiful picture here. It says, as the sun sets over the Bogue Sound, boaters set off from the west of the Morehead City Harbor and make their way toward Beaufort via Bulkhead Channel and Taylor's Creek. Of course, most people have pulled their boats by now, but these are the tough people. It's a very nice sunset picture. The sun is gone. The sky is made up of horizontally striped purple clouds intermingled with a little bit of golden color and orange and a little off-white where the breaks are. And the water itself, and we're going to stop the music right now because I didn't anticipate singing by the piano guys. They must have a singer with them. And the water is a beautiful purplish blue, and there is a fishing boat decked out with lights all around the entire gunwale and all up to the bow where there's a Christmas tree. And they have these outriggers, you know, it's just how to get the lines way away from the boat, and they're normally positioned at about 20-degree angle backwards. Well, all of those, which are, good 20, 30 feet long, are rigged with lights also on this boat. And the other ones are further away in the back, but some of them have Christmas lights that go up to a mast and then come back down on the other side. There's a great big one here that all has something that looks like a Christmas tree on it. It's far away in the distance. I can't really tell. It's got to be beautiful down there. Love to see it. And now, Overleaf. Ho, ho, ahoy! Morehead City in Beaufort, now in its 30th year, the Crystal Coast Holiday Flotilla has become a beloved tradition that gives back to the community in more ways than one. In addition to spreading holiday cheer, it raises funds for the Friends of North Carolina Maritime Museum. Over the years, the event has contributed more than $55,000 to the organization's junior sailing program. I'll tell you about the boat in a minute, but the caption here says, the most creatively and elaborately decorated boats are awarded with prizes. Tim Payne's boat took second place, and yes, she said yes. So what do you think it said on it? And it's all decked out on the sides with lights, but there's a big message on the boat. It says, will you marry me? So it would have been fun if she were ashore and he was on the boat at the time. I don't have the backstory, I'm afraid. They have a sort of what looks like an inflatable Christmas tree on the top, an inflatable snowman on the back, and an inflatable Santa on the front. And there's another fishing boat in the background with all of the lights on the outriggers and on lines running way up to the top, which are holding another Santa in place. And we are coming to the last photograph now. Decked out, Morehead City and Beaufort, all along the waterfront in Morehead City and Beaufort, spectators gather to watch the flotilla on restaurant decks and patios, jacks on the waterfront and sanitary fish market, moonrakers and dockhouse. New to the event last year was a Deck the Dock contest, which awarded a Best Decorated Dock banner to Ann and Junie Smith, to be displayed starting the night of the flotilla. After the event ends at the Beaufort Hotel, boats, too, are awarded for excellence and creativity, recognition for putting on a spectacular show. And so here we see a deck. Doesn't have a lot. I don't think they won the prize. Doesn't have much in the way of decorations on it. But everybody, of course, is pushed up against the railing or the rope on the edge. Or maybe there's nothing there and they're taking a chance no one will push them. They're standing right on the edge and they're watching a boat goes by. It says, from the deck on Jack's on the Waterfront Restaurant and Bar, spectators wave to the cheerfully lit boats passing by. The boats pass fairly close. This one, again, is all decked out along the gunwale, and at the back there were some poles going up at an angle, and they strung a whole bunch of colorful lights down to the boat from those raised poles, and they ran a set of lights up from the bow to the top of the mast holding the anchor light. So it's very pretty. And that is the end of the pictorial. There are, however, some additional photos that they show at the front of the book. The column is called A View from Here. This one says, a cold winter's night in Silva. On the first Friday of every December, hundreds of people gather in front of the historic Jackson County Courthouse to watch the lighting of the town tree. Believed to be the most photographed courthouse in the state, the 1914 structure is decorated with garlands and wreaths every year. Visitors are surrounded by a winter wonderland of 80 Christmas trees as they climb the 107 steps leading up to the courthouse, now home to Silva's Public Library and exhibits on county history. So this is a double page spread, but the right hand side, right in the front, is this beautiful Christmas tree. It has huge round ball ornaments on it. There are some other ornaments, but that's primarily what you see. All of the tree branches are covered with a light dusting of snow. You can see the white courthouse in the background and some big globe lights leading up to it. All over the grounds, there are other trees. I don't know whether they're naturally occurring or not, but they are all lit up. And then overleaf, Charlotte, the plaza beneath the 871-foot-tall Bank of America Corporate Center is home to another towering wonder during the holiday season, a sparkling Christmas tree flanked by two glowing reindeer. The giant tree is lit for the first time at the city's Thanksgiving parade. This is kind of shot from the bottom. You see a reindeer head made out of a lot of branches tied together, and then the tree itself, and then the tower towering above. The angle, since it's from the bottom, shows the bottom of the tree heading to a peak, and then the bottom of the building heading to its own peak above. Well, that is about all the time we have for today's episode of Our State Magazine. I hope you enjoyed it, and that you'll be sure to listen next time. I'm Fred Brack, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's reading of Our State Magazine was underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Our State Magazine is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call the studios 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.